You are now listening to a very special edition of the Cross-Platform Chat Podcast. Play has no limits.
Welcome. This is episode 8 of Cross-Platform Chat, a podcast about video games and nerdy things. My name is Matt, joined by two of my best gaming buddies on the microphone. Cross-Platform Chat is a conversation among friends, and we bring our distinct perspectives on games, but we are cross-platform and backwards compatible, so our door is always open to gamers of all flavors, and we welcome you to the house of Cross-Plat Chat. So pull up a chair, stay a while. Why don't you? Let's chop this thing up. Hang out with the cool kids. Let me welcome my partners in crime, my boys, Devin, otherwise known as Sonic Boom in the room.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Sonic Boom. I will not torment you about Ad Astra applesauce. I finally said it right. And our other brohead. Yeah, sorry. Greg, otherwise known as the Human Platinum himself. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, boys, let's not waste time. Let's dig right into this thing. It's been a hell of a week for next-gen consoles. We previously recorded our podcast on our Xbox Series X first impressions. So now we're back with our first impressions of the PlayStation 5. A day late, but not a dollar short. Sonic Boom, I know you didn't pick up a PS5 yourself, but feel free to chime in.
I did not, no. Offer your thought. I will be stirring the pot as the local X-Bot. I'll be just poking and prodding.
Well, it wouldn't be the same without you. All right. Greg and I were chatting just a tiny bit. We both got our PlayStation 5s. Greg, I'm super curious to hear your thoughts. I guess you are the only one on the podcast that has both next-gen consoles.
Oh,
man. Richie McRicherson over here. It must be nice to have a job.
Rolling high. So, Greg, I've got a series of questions.
All right.
I guess just one...
Same questions from last time.
Here and there. The quickfire questions are different, but you know they kind of go through the same paces a little bit. First thing, I just want to get your first thoughts after your first night of McLovin with the PS5. Your first thought.
Yeah, it's good. First impression. Despite all the videos and everything, it still shocked me how big this thing is.
Yeah. No, it's a beast.
Like,
did you have to call like your dad and a couple uncles to help you lift it out of the box?
Oh, it was. And there is not a millimeter of extra room in my entertainment center, too, by the way. Yeah. It is tight. Oh, man.
But she fits.
Yeah.
Damn it. She fits.
It might not ever come out, but it fits.
Jam it in there with like a
hammer. It was I had to like angle it in to get it and then tilt it upright, but
I went in there like a couch.
Yeah, I felt like moving a couch into a new place for sure. But
yeah, it's big. Yeah. When I got just the box size alone, it's like one of those sizes of boxes where you just repeat to yourself like Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
It's like a small suitcase.
Anvil. It really is. Yeah. I almost made that joke on Twitter. I was going to take a picture of a suitcase and say, you know, PS5 travel case. I didn't. Yeah. I guess there's still time. And I know I've heard people say this, but I actually agree. I like it, the look of it better, like holding it. I actually think it's still obnoxiously futuristic looking, but I think it's pretty slick looking. I like it. I like the look of it.
Have you futzed with the fins yet, either one of you?
No, I haven't cracked it open or anything.
No.
Too afraid?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a real need to at this point.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'll cross that bridge when I get there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really like,
I will say, it is, too. It is the opposite. Is having it in my entertainment center, like, I do not like how it looks at all.
Yeah, shut the door on
not,
that thing.
Yeah, it is not doing it for me.
I have a, I feel lucky because I have like this massive like stack shelf just for my consoles and my amplifier. And it doesn't look too massive in there because it's made like for as like an amplifier stack shelf. But I did put it on the very bottom level because I'm like, if it did fall through this glass, at least it wouldn't fall like 3 feet to its death. I was like worried how heavy it was. So, all right. Greg, you didn't get your console on launch day, and thoughts and prayers to you.
Who dropped the ball?
Amazon. Start
naming names. Name those names.
Yeah. Well, Bezos. I guess Amazon and Target did both. But Target, to be fair, always said it's going to be a few days late. Amazon had been like, no, it's coming day one. You're getting it. And then all day long, it's like, yeah, you're getting it. You're getting it. And then at like 3 p.m., it was like, oh, it's going to be delayed. I'm like, yeah, no. I could tell it's still like 4 hours away.
I love when Amazon does that for other packages too. They're like, oh, it's still coming. It's like, if it's not on a truck now, I'm not getting it.
Yeah, exactly. But even that next day, all day long, I was like, man, they still have not updated this. It's not out for delivery. And then it just showed up. So, I don't know. So
they got it together over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my console that I got direct from Sony was the first to show up, and I'm glad because I paid extra for shipping. But like my Amazon backup console showed up like maybe 45 minutes after that. So,
wow,
felt pretty lucky.
But hey, you got that sweet thank you note.
Yeah, man, they give I downloaded. I think they have like exclusive avatars or something.
Yeah, I saw those. That's kind of cool.
So let me ask you, what did you get along with your console? Games, peripherals, etc.
Nothing physical, like just the console itself. Digital. Yeah.
Would you have gotten the digital console if that thing existed?
I would have considered it, but I do still have quite a few PS4 games on disc.
Yeah, right.
So, but yeah, if I had the opportunity, I might have.
I got the console, I got the, like, everything. Charge dock, which I really like, an extra controller. 3D
headset. I did get an extra controller, a few weeks back.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject, how's your battery life been? Have you noticed any difference with the PS4 controller?
I have not. I, like, plugged them both in. Yeah. As I was like setting up and everything, and then right. I have not had to charge either of them yet.
Yeah, I should do a playtest with it. I've actually heard people say it's less than the DualShock, which would not shock me at all.
Yeah, that's a rumor I heard too, but
it wouldn't.
It's got a lot going on in there now.
It really does. Yeah. Which, but I just put it in the dock after I use it, so I should do a
playtest,
see how long it takes to kill it. But sorry.
No, I was just saying, which with everything going on that controller, it's kind of expected that the battery life might not be as long because you have the extra pulse triggers. What do they call those triggers?
Adaptive.
And then little LED, you know, yeah, haptic. There you go. So, and then all the other stuff that's going on. So, that's my two cents.
While we're on the topic of the controller, I was just talking about first impressions. Like, to me, most people's first impressions seem to start with that controller, and I think for good reason. What were your first impressions of the DualSense, Greg?
Well, putting it like the extra one I got early, kind of just holding my hand, like I like how it feels better than the DualShock 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bigger, a little wider. Everything feels a little wider apart, but yeah, it's good. It's hefty. It's closer to like a Duke controller than they've ever been, for sure.
Yeah, Dukes.
I really like
the signs of it. Yeah, they do. I have a couple boat anchors around here somewhere. I have to go digging, but
oh, that's a really nice controller.
I really like the size of the DualSense. Like I've got, but despite what Sonic Boom tries to tell you, I've got really big hands.
So tiny.
Really big hands.
Micro.
My golden mitts. And they're really good at playing. Like a child. Games. Just like a child. Baby. A very large child. A
baby child. Infant.
Beast of a child. But it's, I just like the form factor I like better. And I didn't think that I would say this soon that I, all right, like when I go back to touch the DualShock 4 just to play around with it, it already feels, I already prefer the DualSense, like already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know,
I've got the same reaction going to the older Xbox One controllers.
Yeah.
So still got the S upstairs. And it's one of those, it's just there's something that's just slightly different between the two that it's noticeable. And so.
So what's your take on like how it performs, how it functions, Greg? What do you think?
Pretty cool. Like probably along with most people, Astrobot's first thing I tried out cause it was pre-installed, but, yeah, it's neat. Like the first time it caught me on guard, it was like, test out the triggers and you have to like, it's like really tight and you have to like push through and it feels like you're like breaking through something with them.
Yeah, totally.
And
totally.
That was like, oh, okay, I get it now. And yeah, I think the triggers are where the best improvements are for sure. Like the haptic stuff is cool. Like it is very like minute. Like you could tell a lot of small differences, but I think those triggers really make a difference.
Yeah, I completely agree. I like how they like fire up Astro because the first thing they do is do that little like controller demo.
Yeah.
And they kind of do like this the haptics like from minute to more I don't know, powerful rumble from the bottom of the controller to the top and then they do that trigger demo that you were discussing and
Yeah.
Oh my god. Right when that adaptive trigger demo I was like I don't know what I was quite expecting, but that was so damn cool. I was like, Jesus, that's crazy. I do feel like I kind of feel like I'm breaking it at first because it has that.
Yeah, that was breaking. My first thing was like, oh, don't push it.
No, like it's okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask, could you see someone just jamming on that thing so hard that they break the gears on it? Or is there some kind of
it's got to be possible. Surely they have things to fail safe at, but.
I'd hope so, because I don't want some kid who's, you know, not paying attention and say they're playing COD and their gun jams and they just crank on that right trigger and just break the teeth on the gears that are inside that thing.
Which, with what I've played, there's nothing that, like, keeps it to where you can't do it. It just makes it harder.
And so, having said that, like, I'm surprised how much tension they can actually apply to the damn thing. Yeah. I'm like, God, that does feel like it's, I don't know. It feels like a lot of tension. It's it's really weird. And then I really like how it actually sends rumble haptics into the trigger also.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing that little like frog spring contraption in Astro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you know, charge it and then let it go and it feels kind of like a trigger. But then if you press the trigger all the way down before he lands, you kind of feel like the reverberation of the spring as it's landing. It's really awesome as hell.
Yeah, it kind of like that is one of the first things that got me on the Xbox One, like playing Forza and stuff, is the feedback of the triggers. And like when you're breaking real hard and stuff, it kind of has that same feedback. Yeah, that stuff's really cool.
Yeah, I was super, super impressed. The haptics to me, they're not quite as I would say they're like an iteration of HD, and I guess you could call it HD rumble. Like it's really
It is a lot like the Switch, I feel like. Yeah, I feel like they're implementing it better than the Switch ever did, but it's kind of the same feel.
The rumble itself feels stronger to me than the Switch also. So they have a broader range of what they can actually do with it. But super.
Yeah, those Joy-Cons are tiny, so I gotta imagine they're struggling to get much of that in there.
So, what about games? What have you played? What are your first impressions?
Okay, so did Astrobot, and then first thing was Demon's Souls downloaded, so I've done some of that. Miles Morales, And I've downloaded, but I've not started Bugsnax.
Talking about Bugsnax.
Yeah. So, well, yeah.
Any particular thoughts? What stood out to you?
Honestly, Astrobot more than anything has stood, like
Astro's so good.
That game is great. Like, I want a full length game of that so bad.
No, seriously, I agree with you. As I play it, like, a couple things stick out. Number one, like, I think it's really smart that it's pack-in software. Mm-hmm. They could have easily sold that. It's really that good. And I've played it. I haven't looked at my counter, but I would say at least 4 to 5 hours at least of it.
Yeah.
And
that's a PS Plus game, right?
No, it's just pre-installed on every system.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what about PS4 players? Do they get it too?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like extremely, I mean, it really makes me wonder what Asobi, the team who does it, does next. I mean, you have to assume they're probably going to keep doing Astrobot, but
I really hope, having this pre-installed gives them a big audience of people that have played it, hopefully.
Yeah, right.
And then hopefully they can roll that into a new one.
And I hope they get more attention because, I mean, technically they had Astro's Playroom on the PS4 when it launched. And I barely touched it, really.
Yeah. I mean, it was
cool, but it was
nowhere this cool. Like, it was tilt your controller. Oh, like, flick up and you can knock things around. Like,
yeah, it was like the touchpad kind of demo.
Yeah, it was just like a little almost gadget more than a game.
This thing is like just undeniably well made. It's a stellar platformer.
Yeah. God,
it's so damn good.
It just,
and the other thing was like,
the nostalgia hits, like just random stuff. God, like, dude. Oh, here's the PS Move sharpshooter. Remember that? I'm like, yeah, hell, I remember that.
All this quirky stuff.
Yeah.
How much of those things have you unlocked?
The worlds I've done are the PS2, PS3, and PS4 ones.
You've done a good amount.
And I mean, there still seems to be quite a bit that I've not unlocked in those.
Man, it's so awesome to kind of walk through like the history of PlayStation, and they have like every reference of any game profile that's ever been on PlayStation. It's so awesome. And it, like, by the end of it, and it ends really well. I haven't collected every single thing, but I've gone through to the end.
Yeah.
And like, it ends so well. It's like so badass. It's so damn cool. But like, it really makes you think, like, PlayStation has really built a legacy. They're not Nintendo. They never will be. Nintendo is a legacy company, but like, at this point, PlayStation is a mainstay, and they really have an amazing, amazing library of games. And it just makes you just so nostalgic, like you said, so nostalgic about eras. Yeah. And they incorporate sounds and gadgets and references. It's so damn charming. I love it.
Yeah. Like, it is the closest to like Nintendo quality they've ever been, I feel. Definitely. Like, with this game, like, it feels like a Nintendo game.
It really does. It's so creative. So you died. Demon's Souls, what'd you think?
It's good. It's real good. It is core, like, that is the best looking of all the next gen stuff I've played, I feel like, for sure.
I'll try not to make this long, but graphically, it might be the... I'm not a PC gamer, so I know if you're looking for graphical fidelity, PC is going to be where it is. But
yeah,
as far as console, it is graphically the best thing I've ever seen. Just graphical fidelity. It's unreal. Yeah. And it's really the first time I've played on my new giant OLED, so that's part of it too.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, it's so... The attention to detail and just like... I really like the respect for source material, almost to a fault at times. They're so...
What's that running at? What's the frame rate? The
performance resolution? 60 frames, 4K.
64K? Ooh.
It's freaking amazing.
Smooth. I've not...
It's insane.
...come into any slowdown or anything.
And the... oh my god, the sound is on another
level. Yeah. Yeah.
It's insane. And... I have never heard my sound system sound better. I'm not just saying that. I've had like 4K Blu-rays, other consoles. It's like so much better. I can't even believe it. I cranked the hell out of it on my sound system just because I wanted to get a sense of the fidelity.
Yeah.
It is like piercing. It's so damn. The fidelity is amazing. I go on about Demon's Souls. I think it's incredible.
It's so good. It's phenomenal. I mean, that's going to be where like the chunk of my time is across all the launch games on PS5 for sure.
I think I have around 8 hours in it, and I'm just it doesn't stop with the quality. It's so damn good. Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
Do they change any of the like mechanics or anything else other than just the graphics?
No, and that's the thing is, I think that basically they took the code of the original Demon's Souls. They changed the animations. They changed a lot about.
I know they changed, like, you can roll in 8 directions instead of just 4 now.
Oh, yeah, right. They have multi-directional roll. But other than that, it's Demon's Souls. And yeah. I would say it's loyally Demon's Souls in all the best and sometimes the worst ways. And I could see both sides of that. So if you've never played Demon's Souls before, I could see where, like, somebody would go through, like, Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3, and even Bloodborne, and maybe even Sekiro, and then come back and be like, damn, this is it feels like a different game. And it really is, because it was the precursor to a whole genre that they more or less invented. But I would say, you know, it speaks to how rock solid that system was, because I go back to it and it doesn't feel.
Yeah.
It doesn't really feel dated to me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've not played enough of the original to really for it to count for anything. Like, I've just barely touched it. And this does not feel old in any way to me, for sure.
It's the lore of that game is like so deep too. I mean, it's definitely more of a paced RPG than certainly like Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodborne is like an all-out assault, but and it's supposed to be faster. To me, that's where From Software has been going. It's just more of a fast-paced action game. Certainly,
yeah,
like Sekiro, but yeah, Demon's Souls is phenomenal. Well, I think it's the best thing that PlayStation's ever launched. Ever.
It's solid.
And I don't think PlayStation has historically launched with amazing software, so that might not be saying a ton, but still, to me, it's their best launch piece of software they've ever done. Pretty easily, in my opinion. What about Spider-Man? How much of that have you played? Miles.
I'd say probably an hour and a half.
Yeah, about me too.
Yeah, it's, you just feel the budget in that game is so high. Like, it's just such a feast for the eyes.
No, it really, it feels just like
a the animations and everything, like all the finishers and stuff, so good.
Half the time it's almost indistinguishable if it's a CG or a game at times. I mean, they kind of it's really incredible, man. I didn't play Spider-Man 2018, but I was pretty taken with it, really.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I haven't played Spider-Man.
You should, play that first one.
You need to put your pony card in.
Well, I'm a pony burn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so the default mode is like 30 FPS, 4K, and ray tracing. And the ray tracing looks great. But I ended up switching over to the 60 FPS that just it stays at 4K, but it cuts out the ray tracing. And I think that's a okay trade-off for my taste.
Yeah, and I think they still have like this SSR, that screen.
Oh, yeah. Reflection. Yeah.
So it's not.
Like, it still looks great.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I got to this one part, like where you're inside and they're, I don't know if they're in like some sort of, I don't know what the building is, but like everything is reflecting. And then you have like 30 people, and my God, I'm like,
weird. They all have like lights on their costumes and stuff. It's all reflective. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It's a looker for sure.
Have you guys come across any bugs or glitches with that game? I've seen a couple of good ones out there on the Twitterverse.
No.
Not with Spider-Man.
I've only played probably an hour and a half, so I haven't done a lot of exploring or anything.
I've definitely seen bugs in Demon's Souls, but I haven't seen any in Spider-Man.
Mm.
Like what?
This happened in the first Demon's Souls too, so I don't know if this is because carryover of coding.
But oh, they're like, just legacy bugs.
They're just like, keeping true.
They had it was like a floating asset. It was like a floating sword or something somewhere. I was like,
huh.
This one just got locked in time. Now it's floating here.
Nice.
I did have a Astrobot like kind of hard crashed on me.
Oh, me too, actually. I had that. Yeah. I didn't know if it was related to this, but like I had Demon's Souls suspended, and then I started Astrobot, and it started and then it just stopped. I was like,
weird. Yeah, I was playing, and I think I had finished a level, and the screen just went black. And I was like,
shit.
I thought my TV had shut off, and I was like, what? But then I hit like the PS button, and like the bottom part would pop up. So I was like, oh, this is just the game.
Wake up, Astro.
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my questions is going to be if you've encountered any of those system crashes or hard drive breaking bugs.
No, luckily. I've heard some rough stuff about that.
Yeah, I haven't had anything yet. Crossing fingers. But I will say one thing for sure. The disk drive is loud.
Oh, yeah?
Well, at least when I installed a game, I don't know if you had this experience. When I was installing Demon's Souls, when it physically runs the disc, like I was really surprised how loud it was.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if it's like, I don't know if that's just on install. I've only noticed it when I was installing Demon's Souls and otherwise it's been quiet, but the, I don't know. It was really loud when I was installing. But...
Yeah, I mean, I've not put a disc in either of these systems, and I've not heard a single noise out of either of them, aside from the beep turning on. Which, it's kind of disappointing that both of these systems have the same exact beep as the previous one.
I know, right?
I was kind of hoping
something different.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about the UI, by the way?
I'm still figuring it out. I'm not crazy about it, but that just might be because I'm not used to it. Unless I'm missing something, like it's kind of weird. Like if you're in a game and you want to look at trophies, like those don't just come up on that crossbar thing unless it's like a certain couple they pick. You got to like go to your profile and then trophies.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is true.
And that's kind of...
I don't want that to be two button clicks away and scrolling.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just kind of like, it'd be nice if it was overlaid, but yeah. So
seems like it.
And the store is weird.
I've actually like, barely gone into the store.
Like, it's just part of the UI now, which is cool in theory, but like, there's no way to look at like what games are on sale or like. It's like if you want to look at PS4 games, it is here, browse all PS4 games.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's just a huge list. So like I don't know if they're just intending for you to like use the app if you want to use better, because the app is great now.
Yeah.
For the store. Yeah. I don't know if they just want you to do that, but yeah, it's a little bare bones. But I mean, it's fast. It was quick.
Yeah, my God, the old one. Yeah. But yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm still feeling my way around it. I really like the UI generally, but you know, the first reaction is, oh, it's new. I don't like it. After a little while, little things like holding the PlayStation button as opposed to tapping it does two different things, which is not super
clear. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I really like where they're going. Obviously, it's going to iterate a ton.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing I'd like just downright hate. I think it's just kind of muscle memory's not there yet.
Yeah. Sure. I'm trying to think of anything else off the top of my noggin. Anything you don't like for yourself, Greg?
Really, I think kind of just that store is the only thing that kind of is an off-putting me. But I'm sure that'll get updated pretty quick.
I had two things. One, which I already said, which was the disk drive was loud on install. Guess it's not a big thing because once it's installed, I never hear it again. But yeah, I guess it just scared me and I didn't like that. It was funny because like the disc started getting loud on the install. It's like I was remembering you telling your story about playing your Xbox Series X and you thought something bad was happening. And
oh yeah, yeah.
So I was like, the first thing in my mind was, I hope there's a guy outside with a chainsaw. But the other thing is like, I like the physical design of the console, but putting a disc in is really freaking weird because of the angle of the bottom of the console. Mm-hmm. It's just not as accessible as it should be. It's kind of like they built something obnoxiously futuristic and they're like, oh yeah, we have to be able to put a disc in the bottom of this.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you look at the two versions of this console, you could absolutely tell which one they designed first.
Totally.
And then which one they bolted on a disc drive to.
Prager's lump on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
If the bottom side was just straight, it would be easier. But it's like this overhang cliff thing. Mm-hmm. And it, like when the disc is ejected, I can't like put my spindle over the top. It's really weird.
Huh. It's like really palm weird. The disc like a Neanderthal?
Yeah, or get under it and do like a reach around. Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Huh. So that's
which nice. this is just nitty gritty, but which way does the disc face when you like the label of the disc?
It's the same way. I mean, it's if it's standing up.
Yeah.
I guess the label would be facing towards the left.
Okay.
Is that right? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I guess okay. Yeah, that'd be the way if you had it side of it. Okay.
Anyone have any install mishaps with HDMI cables?
No.
Okay, good.
No, good. No, yeah, all good.
Nothing.
Their included one seems solid, too.
Very nice.
Yeah, mine was fine. Didn't have any cinnamon moments, thank God. How's that going, by the way? How's cinnamon? All right.
Cinnamon's in the dump.
Cinnamon, nice. Where it belongs, man. You don't
know
that shit on day one.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I played some Call of Duty last night for a couple hours.
Tell us what you're playing, Devin. We want to hear from you now. Sorry.
Yeah. What about me?
Sonic.
You know, other than getting further into Assassin's Creed and Doom, Call of Duty is the only new game I've played since then. So getting through the campaign on that with the misses. It's interesting what they've done this time around, where it's not just a linear story of, you know, all right, you're dropped off, go left trigger, right trigger. You kind of have like a little central hub hideout and you get some optional side missions that you can do that are a little bit like a short and sweet type of thing. I done a couple of those and you get to kind of build your profile of who your character is.
Yeah, and, that's interesting.
Yeah, so you know, you get to do like your traits, which is like, are you a lone wolf, are you constantly paranoid, are you, you know, like, and those have in-game perks associated to it. Like, so if you're paranoid, your aim down sight speeds quicker, or if you're got an itchy trigger finger or whatever, there's like 17 of them, you're like reload faster.
Really good too.
Oh yeah, like I reload like that. It's insane how quick my character reloads. And you set this like quote-unquote profile up beginning of the game where you get to put your name in and your background and stuff like that. And here's a question. Do you guys remember what my unicorn name was?
No. Mine was going to be Butterbean. No, what was it?
Yours was Sparkle Butter Rainbow.
Cake. Sparkle,
Sparkle okay. Rainbow.
Sorry, yes.
And Jethro, you didn't get this, but yours is Tender Kisses.
That's your unicorn name.
Mine was Snowbell.
Okay.
And like the character code name I have in Call of Duty, which I did not assign. I could not pick this. It was assigned to me.
It's Bell, isn't
Bell.
It?
Yeah. So I'm like, well, duh. This game is made for me.
That's Bell. Great.
Yeah.
Snowbell dreams. So. I like that.
Yeah.
So you like it overall then?
Yeah, it looks good. I mean,
looks great.
The missus has been thoroughly impressed. She's a tough nut to crack. Like, she's not easily impressed when it comes to TVs, video games, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I played Breath of the Wild. She looked at it for 2 seconds. She's like, that looks like ass.
and then never touched it. Didn't have any, wanted nothing to do with Zelda. So we played it for a couple hours and she's like, it looks really good. I'm like, yeah, it does. On the nice TV. She's like, hey, don't call my TV not nice. Cause she picked the one upstairs, the one that I didn't have cinnamon problems with. So
cinnamon dreams. Yeah, well, I wasn't planning on getting Call of Duty, and then I watched like a stream of it, and I was like, damn, that looks nice. So I might get it.
Yeah, which it's just one of those, you know, I wanted to buy something new for my new system, and
sure,
it was pricey, but as Jethryn found out the hard way. But, you know, it's just kind of like, it's like a routine. It's like a special, you know, you unbox the system, you hook it all up, you know, you say your blessings, you've kiss your children, you open up the cellophane on your disc, you put it in, et cetera, type of thing. So yeah.
Well, did you get Call of Duty? Are you thinking about getting Call of Duty, Greg?
Yeah, I got it too. I only played like the first mission or so, but it's a looker, let me tell you.
I think I might do it.
Yeah. We need to do some multiplayer together and drag Devin down
the spoilers scoreboard.
Oh, I've told you this, guys, a long time ago. I'm not good at video games at all.
I'm not either.
No,
like we'll see, see who can out-bad each other.
All right, because that's that's cross-platform, right, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, there we go. We all could play together because Activision did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Activision. All right. Well, we can get into the quickfire questions so that I can go play my PlayStation.
Sounds
final
good.
Final thoughts on my PS5. I am really impressed with the launch software, and I think I'm super, super excited for both these consoles, Series X and PlayStation 5. I think these are two companies that know what they want to do, and they're going in two different directions, kind of. And I think they're both going to be... I think these are stellar consoles. I mean, I don't have a Series X, but everything I've read,
you would say you got your money's worth?
Hell yeah. I'm super happy with it. In fact, in terms of first impressions, it's my favorite PlayStation, and probably just in terms of like first experience touching the thing. That's saying a lot, because I loved my PS4 from the beginning, but I think this is the best launch they've ever had. I don't even think it's
software wise. No question.
No doubt. That's my impression. That's my knee jacks. I love it. I can't wait to see what else they do with it. Quick fire questions. You boys ready?
Yes,
always.
All right. Sonic Boom. These are all PlayStation centric.
Okay, great. I'm ready.
All right. How do you personally, for your personal tastes, rank PlayStation consoles, not including PS5?
Ooh, I would say PS2, PS1, 4, and then 3.
Okay.
I think PS2, I mean, this is a whole other conversation. I think PS2 has got one of the best libraries, hands down.
Oh, yeah, PS2.
I would say it rivals NES and Super NES. Like, it's just the breadth and the depth of that library. Like,
yeah,
it's amazing. It's astounding. Like, it had an amazing 8 years front to back. So...
Behemoth. How about you, Greg? What you got?
4-3-2-1.
Damn.
Ooh, really?
Making it easy.
Everyone's been better than the last for me, in my opinion. Okay. I never had a PS1 at the time. But
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Went back and played a bunch of it, but I had friends that did and stuff, but yeah.
I guess I would go damn. This is hard. PS4 is my favorite. Probably PS4, PS1, PS2, PS3. Probably. If I thought about it. All right. Now, favorite PlayStation console design.
Ooh, design.
Where I'll we say already original. Know your PS5.
Oh yeah, okay.
the clam.
The clamshell. It felt like technology, you know, for back then in the 1995? When did that thing come out?
95 in the States.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like technology and just, you know, I like the square with the circle and the off gray, just kind of like a nod to the original NES. So yeah, I'll say that. And then PS2 slow, close behind it.
The original PS2 launch
version. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing was schmexy. How about you, Greg?
I think the slim PS2.
Like, man, that thing got tiny. They all got small. Tiny.
Yeah.
The especially first three got really tiny.
I just had the black one, but I saw the white one, and oh, that white one looked gorgeous.
Yeah, that thing is pretty clean looking.
Yeah. I also really, really like the launch PS4.
Yeah, that was I like the hard angles.
Yeah, yeah. Hard. It lost something going to the Pro and the Slim.
Flat surfaces, hard angles. Edge. Way to do it.
I also liked that half of it was matte finish and the other half had that shiny HDD bay thing.
Mm.
I liked that. I was kind of surprised they didn't like lean into that replacement faceplate action type thing.
Yeah.
I thought they'd go hog wild with that, but they really
didn't. Yeah, no, not at all.
For me, I'd say the classic PS1. I love the look of that thing. I think it's aged really well. Super nostalgic. And then probably PS4, after that. All right, rank order these PlayStation IPs for your personal taste. And when I'm saying, like, this is, you know, like Last of Us is one of them. That includes 1 and 2. God of War, that includes all of them. Souls, I beat Demon's Souls, Bloodborne. And then the other one, I'm just calling it Weta, which is Eco, Shadow, and Garden.
We'll do God of War, Last of Us, Souls, and then Ico.
Baller. Greg, hit us with your truth.
I think it's the same. Yeah. God of War, I think I would say God of War, Souls, Last of Us, Ueda.
Decisions.
Yeah.
I'd have to go Souls, damn, this is tough. Souls, Ueda, Last of Us, God of War. But they're all... Well,
what about the MGS? Where do you put that?
I mean, if it was included,
where do you put the Metroids and where do you put the... No, I'm kidding. It's not even PlayStation.
I mean, if we're
talking about Dead Space,
Metroid always won.
Yeah, my Metroid stomps all this stuff. Metal
what about
Gear
Mario? Solid. Does Mario go in there?
I mean, if we're talking all-time IPs, yeah, of course. These are like legacy IPs.
Oh, no, just the six we just talked about. You must choose.
Yeah, I would go Souls, way to Last of Us, God of War.
Very nice.
Favorite. Jesus, where am I on this list? Okay, I'll just end with this one. Which is appropriate, because last week there were rumblings of Microsoft acquisition of a Japanese IP. This week, I don't know if you've heard, there's rumors that PlayStation's about to acquire Bluepoint, which I think would be a surprise to no one. But with Microsoft getting aggressive with things, what do you think is the next acquisition PlayStation should make, if any?
I mean, Bluepoint's natural. They own Naughty Dog, right?
Yeah.
And Insomniac. Oh, that's a good one. Who does The Samurai game that just came out. Who owns them?
That's Sony.
Is that Sony? Oh, yep. Well, then I have no idea. Yep. I don't follow their business. Yeah, Sucker Punch. They're owned. I thought they were second party. Shoot. They're going to buy the guys that make Madden. How about that? EA. No. I don't know. I don't really have a...
No thoughts.
I don't follow them enough to know, like, what they're doing. I don't think it'll be Japanese because, like, at this point, they kind of abandon Japan, but they just don't care. And like getting any information about what their plans are for the Japanese market is just pulling teeth from what it sounds like. So it'll be probably a European studio.
I'm trying to think who would even be out there. Man, I'm having a hard time thinking of European studios. DICE, but they're too massive. They wouldn't do that.
Yeah, they're owned by EA.
Right. They're locked down. Kirillov, but they already own them. Greg, you have any thoughts on this one?
I'm very, there's a few that I'm like surprised they haven't bought yet. And maybe some past their prime a little bit, but I'm surprised they never bought Quantic Dream.
Yeah.
They're
super massive.
Yeah, I was just saying, and super massive. Also surprised they've never bought Housemark.
Yeah, actually. That's a really good, hey, they're European, right? They're Dutch, I think.
Yeah,
what about the guys that did Flower?
That game company, yeah.
Yeah, that game company.
That's also true.
Yeah, like that one, like one of the last second party holdouts. So.
You know, it's funny, too, because they released another game since Journey. I don't think a lot of people even realize that. I think it's called Sky or something.
Yeah.
It was on iOS. Yeah, and I had heard that it was making its way to PlayStation, or I think even...
Yeah, it's supposed to come to...
But I hadn't heard any updates on that. It looks really Journey-esque, but I... I don't know. It's interesting. It's funny because when they were making their when they made Journey, that was their pinnacle for PlayStation. And at that time, the market was moving to mobile, and that's where they went. And now they're like kind of forgotten console. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. A lot of that team split off too.
Oh, did they? I didn't know that.
Went a lot of different directions after, like,
Matt Nava, I guess, he went to do other things.
Because the team wasn't very big, right? It was like, what, 12 people?
Yeah, it was really small.
It was small, yeah. The studio that I'm blanking on their name that made Abzu and Pathless.
Yeah.
That's a lot of.
Oh, God. Who
that's some of those people.
Yeah, I know Matt Nava is the name that I know from that team. And he's
okay.
The Journey Project. But I forget the name of the studio. But yeah, you're right about that.
Hello Games.
Hello Games. That's
like, they're really not. I mean, No Man's Sky keeps getting updates. And from what it sounds like it's really. Looks really stunning on next gen, but I don't remember. There's no microtransactions in that game, is there?
No.
I played a bunch of it, but I didn't really.
I guess they could have added. Not that I know of, though.
Because I mean, they're doing phenomenal keeping that thing supported and all the stuff they added. But like,
talk about coming back from the dead, man! That thing.
Yeah. I think someone would have to buy them at this point. I mean,
it was a strange. Like, I felt like there was like some weird like. Sony kind of threw them under the bus after a while. After,
yeah, they
didn't do well, and then it was like then when it came to Xbox, like Microsoft was like really backing them. And it's like, oh, they tried to like, hey,
they were
work out with them. Good come on over here, like,
yeah, they were the nice friend. That's like, oh, we got you. Come on over, after, you know, because they had all that awfulness of what happened with their studio and the game and Sean Murray doing stuff. And it's just had a bad launch.
Have you played that game lately, Greg?
Not enough. I've hopped in for little bits of time. I've got a friend that, just started playing it for the first time and he's having a blast. He acts like I definitely need to jump in. It's also cross platform now, I think.
I've kind of been curious to play it again. I played it at launch, and I just felt like it was a mile wide and an inch deep, and I was like, I'm not into this.
Time at launch.
It was not something that I was going to spend a lot of time on, I could tell right away. But now it's like a completely different game, one of those stories, which I like to see. I like when games can get it done, but good on them.
It's like Fallout or Minecraft or one of those where it's either you invest everything into it and that's your whole heart, or you just get a couple hours of the experience and move on.
Right, dip in and out. That's what I do. Ooh. Well, those are my quick fires, boys. So I guess
cool.
That wraps this up. I guess Sonic Boom, where can the people find you?
Ooh, you can find me at the Pied Piper.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitters, yes, or cross plot chop this week for Trotnum's hooves. Cross plot chat. I'll put it in the show notes as well. Okay. I kind of have that in there permanently now. So, yeah, please send us your questions, your feedback, your how did your unboxing go? How was your HDMI cables? Send that to crossplatformchat@gmail.com. Let us know.
Did you even get your console yet? Tell us all your horror stories.
Right.
Greg, how do the people find you?
I'm at Jethrin on Twitter, Jethrin.
Best follow on Twitter. And I am at the circle button on Twitter. You can join tens of thousands of followers. The world round.
All 70 of them.
71. I got a new one.
Oh, you did? Oh, wow. Good.
I did.
And I got like 16, so that's pretty good.
I'm sure it's a real person.
Oh, it's not gaming.biz.bot?
No, yeah. I block all those.
Yeah, I do too.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up on episode 8. This is the cross-platform chat signing out.
Love your bodies.
Later.